Now more than ever, organizations worldwide must master the emerging technologies shaping the way business is done. In each episode of the Mastering Digital series, our digital gurus will speak to the key technologies, challenges, and opportunities that are impacting in-house counsel in our digitally dependent world.
Hello, I'm Valerie Kenyon, a partner at Hogan Lovells, and I co-lead our global products law practice based in London. I specialise in litigation and regulatory work, mostly for product companies, and with a particular focus on the technology sector. My practice has grown over the years, along with the IoT space, and a lot of it involves advising global tech companies on liability and safety issues relating to the Internet of Things. It's a pleasure to talk to you today, and I'm going to focus on a few topics which I hope will be interesting to you, namely around the regulation of the internet as it stands today in the UK, as one example, and liability and regulation in the context of IoT. And finally, I'll explore how data protection and privacy is now completely linked to product safety and liability for any tech product. Let's talk first about the regulation of the internet, using the UK as an example, and let's talk about the proposal for a new law on online harms. On average, there's over 40 billion gigabytes of mobile traffic every month. The number of devices connected to IP networks will be more than three times the global population by 2023. With the rapid growth of the Internet of Things, think 41 billion connected IoT devices by 2027 being predicted, this will only increase. It may be because of this vastness and because of the inherent difficulty in imposing a unifying framework on a technology that has grown exponentially in sometimes unexpected ways, the UK, in response, has historically taken a relatively light touch approach to the regulation of the internet and internet content. And this is true in many, many other jurisdictions. The internet for the UK has tended to be caught within the ambit of a raft of other regulatory frameworks, all derived from EU law, such as the regimes around copyright, broadcast, and data protection. However, in recent years, the UK government has indicated that it's seeking to take a stronger, more concerted line, and we're seeing the same pattern across lots of other jurisdictions. The UK government recently published a white paper relating to what it calls online harms, and the government notes in that paper that, in the wrong hands, the internet can be used to spread terrorist and other illegal or harmful content, undermine civil discourse, and abuse or bully other people. And then in February 2020, the UK government announced that it's considering appointing Ofcom as the online harms regulator, empowering it to enforce rules to make the internet a safer place. This announcement follows the proposal to impose a duty of care on companies that allow users to share or discover user-generated content or interact with each other online to protect users against online harm. The proposal in the UK anticipates that the relevant regulator will be granted new powers to enforce a statutory duty of care to protect users from harmful and illegal content and to ensure that online companies have the systems and processes in place to fulfil the duty of care. And again, this is a pattern we're seeing now in lots of jurisdictions. For the UK, key elements of the proposal include that platforms need to ensure that illegal content is removed quickly and minimise the risk of it appearing in the first place, and that companies will be required to explicitly state what content and behaviour is acceptable on their sites in clear and accessible terms, and to enforce these effectively, consistently, and transparently. Next, let's talk about liability and regulation of the IoT devices themselves. Having spoken very briefly about regulation of the internet itself, I want to talk a little more about the regulation and potential liability issues relating to the products when they're connected. The Internet of Things have presented some really interesting challenges for regulators and legislators. It's necessitated a consideration of a whole range of different legal regimes: product safety law, product liability law, data protection, tort, contract law, and other laws regulating the internet itself. As examples, some interesting liability questions exist for IoT products, including: should IoT product manufacturers be liable where a malicious hacker breaks into the system and causes mischief and harm or steals data? What about in circumstances where an IoT product is breached by a hacker, and this enables the hacker to cause a product safety issue with a different product that connects to the product in the first place? Of course, with IoT, the system is arguably only as strong, only as secure, as the product which represents the weakest link in the system. There are also interesting product liability issues relating to IoT products because of the way the products are designed and developed. For example, should software developers fall within the scope of product liability laws? How should product liability laws deal with IoT products where consumers have created safety or cybersecurity risks because they failed to, for example, adopt appropriately secure passwords or download patches and updates? We still don't know the full potential of the internet or of devices connected using the internet. As ever, lawmakers, regulators, and the courts are working hard to keep up. Several of the current governing frameworks, including the Product Liability Directive, which is active across the EU, came into force a significant number of years ago, and we're keeping a close eye on developments and potential changes in this area and talking with lots of clients about this. It's vital that whatever comes in next is fit for purpose and adequately supports the new digital age. The European Commission is consistently evaluating legislation like the Product Liability Directive in light of new technologies. In January of this year, the Commission held a hearing in which participants were given the opportunity to present their views in the context of whether the current regime is adequate to facilitate the uptake of new connected technologies. Hogan Lovells, of course, participated in this. And this is on the agenda in the UK too. Earlier this year, the UK government announced its aims to make the UK the safest place to be online by holding manufacturers to account and ensuring that robust security standards are built into IoT products from the design stage. It plans to ensure that all consumer smart devices sold in the UK adhere to rigorous security requirements for IoT. It's indicated that we'll know more about this later this year, and again, this is an area we're watching out for further updates. The world is becoming ever more connected. Even if you don't fall within the traditional classification of product manufacturer or within the IoT ecosystem itself, the issues raised arguably have broad application. IoT devices solve problems for and are desired by consumers. But for emerging technology, standards often cannot keep pace with the speed of product change and innovation. The internet, of course, is part of the fabric of daily life, but many questions remain. How do we keep people safe? And what is the standard of safety society even expects without inhibiting innovation? I'd like to move on to the final topic for today's podcast, which is the intersection between data and product liability. Given the fast-paced nature of technological change, these factors can rarely be separated. If a product has any measure of smart capabilities, then consideration of the implications of a potential privacy or data security lapse is vital. We've seen a couple of examples where the nature of consumer IoT has demonstrated that manufacturers of smart devices have even more reason to make sure they plan ahead in anticipation of a potential product safety issue that might arise. Take a recent example of the manufacturer of a children's smartwatch, which allowed parents to track their children's whereabouts. The product was recalled in the EU last year due to severe privacy lapses, following the European Commission classifying the product itself as presenting a serious safety risk. In brief, due to a lack of encryption in the mobile application communications, a hacker could obtain unauthenticated access to the user's data, such as their location history and saved phone numbers. A malicious user could then have communicated with a young child wearing the device or locate the child through GPS. Scary stuff, and also clearly a safety issue. So you may be thinking, why are we talking about this? Well, cases like this highlight the challenges and risks that manufacturers of IoT devices face. As more devices become connected, from smart watches to smart speakers and device trackers, the risks of cyber attacks by malicious actors increases drastically, as does the potential for financial and reputational harm. For product companies, it's important to recognise that a data breach is an issue that the company will need to respond to, and in the EU, according to the processes laid down in the GDPR. But there also could be relevant safety product processes to follow. And so, manufacturers of consumer IoT face potential dual liability under privacy and products law and regulatory scrutiny under the two regimes if something goes wrong with their product. We certainly understand that many product companies are super excited about their products, and we are too. We also totally get that the temptation is to start out strong and get the product to the market fast and show consumers everything a product can do. But in the new digital age, which we're still working to all understand, and particularly with the stringent requirements, not to mention the hefty sanctions for breaches, the default position should be to bake in a robust privacy and data protection measures from the design stage. Data is, after all, the new product safety. Thank you for listening today. If you have any questions at all, please do get in touch, and we would be delighted to have a follow-up conversation with you.